Outbeat Radio on KRCB Windsor Santa Rosa, a program that focuses on issues by, for, and or about members of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender communities. You can hear Outbeat Radio every Sunday night at 8 p.m. And this is Living Proof, and I am your host, Sheridan Gold. And my wife, Diana Grayer, who's usually my co-host, tonight is going to be my guest. Hi, Diana.
Hi, sweetheart. And hello, everyone. Glad to be here.
So we are going to be talking about your play, your newest play, your second play, called When the Bud Blooms. And I look very forward to having you on the show, explaining yourself, and also hearing from your cast.
Yes. I'm excited to roll on this side of the aisle here. So,
before we get to the interview, we do have news and events with Outbeat member and our engineer, Greg Moralia. So stay tuned and we'll be back.
I'd love to change the world, but I don't know what to do.
This is Greg Moralia with your Outbeat Radio news for the week of April 7th, 2019. Last week, Chicago mayoral candidate Lori Lightfoot trounced her opponent and made history. Lightfoot will be the only black lesbian mayor in the nation and the first out mayor of one of America's three largest cities. Former Houston Mayor Anise Parker, who's now the president and CEO of the LGBTQ Victory Fund and who formerly held the record as the highest-ranking out mayor in the city of Houston, the nation's fourth largest city, said, quote, "A black lesbian taking power in the nation's third largest city is a historic moment for so many communities that so often go ignored in American politics," end quote. And also last week, the Human Rights Campaign released its annual Corporate Equality Index. This is a measure of America's leading companies and law firms and how they are continuing to advance the vital and increasingly vigorous policies and practices to protect their LGBT employees. This year, 571 businesses earned the Corporate Equality Index's top score of 100 points, meeting new and higher benchmarks. This includes a record number of companies offering transgender-inclusive healthcare policies. More than 170 businesses, including 110 that earned a top score on the index, are also corporate equality supporters of the Equality Act, a critically important bipartisan piece of legislation that would finally add clear, comprehensive, non-discrimination protections for LGBT people. Some of the key findings in this year's report include the number of U.S. employees with a corporate non-discrimination policy protecting them from sexual orientation or gender identity discrimination numbers 16.8 million, and gender identity is now part of non-discrimination policies in 85% of Fortune 500 companies. This is up 3% from 2002. More than 500 major employers have adopted supportive inclusion guidelines for transgender workers who are in the midst of a transition. And here locally, Sonoma County Pride is excited to announce that information and registration is now open online for the 32nd annual Pride Parade and Festival, taking place this year on June 1st. This year's theme is the Year of Love. Vendors at this year's festival, to be held at the Old Courthouse Square, will interact with over 3,000 attendees. Pride's recruiting a wide range of exhibitors and vendors to enrich your experience. With the addition of events during Pride Weekend and the expansion of the festival to include two live stages, Sonoma County Pride will be action-packed, diverse, and offer something for everyone. You can register as a vendor or as a parade contingent right now at sonomacountypride.org. And finally, Napa Valley College announces the premiere of a new LGBT studies class titled AIDS in the LGBT Community and Beyond. This course examines the history of the AIDS crisis, the impact on the LGBT community, and current strategies for eliminating the virus. This class is part of a new two-year degree program in LGBT studies and will be available for the first time this summer, fully online. You can learn more at napavalley.edu. For Outbeat Radio News, I'm Greg Moralia. And before we return to Living Proof with Sharon Dye, I'd like to ask for your help to reach our goal this hour to raise $200 for KRCB. And we have some great incentives and thank you gifts to offer for your donation. Now, one of the easiest and carefree ways to support Outbeat Radio and KRCB is to sign up for a monthly contribution of just $5 a month. It's charged automatically to your credit card, and you don't ever even have to think about it. And for your generosity, we'll give you a passport account to PBS.org. This is like having a subscription to a paid movie channel full of incredible documentaries, educational programs, and PBS specials. This offer is really like getting a two-for-one deal. Your donation keeps your favorite radio programs coming to you on your radio, and you get access to the full array of paid PBS programs. I'm here and ready to take your call, so pick up the phone and dial 707-584-2020. That's 707-584-2020. Or if you prefer, you can go online and make a donation at norcalpublicmedia.org. Just click the red donate button at the top of the page. Now, let's get back to Living Proof with Sheridan Gold and Dr. Diana Greer.
And if you just joined us, this is Living Proof on Outbeat Radio. I'm Sheridan Gold, your host for tonight. And in studio, we have as our guest, my wife, my co-host for the show, but tonight she is our guest, Diana Lynette Greer. And Diana is going to be talking about her play, When the Bud Blooms. So welcome back, Diana.
Thank you. Thank you.
So why don't we begin by you telling us about what your play is about?
When the Bud Blooms is about a young woman, Simone, who is a singer and who has a bout of depression. In the play, my goal was to show support, so show how you, a person is down and out and what it takes to help them come alive again and rise. I have six actors total. I have a young woman, the Simone woman, who's the lead. And then I have her mother comes in to support her. And then I have three of her best buds come and support her. But she's down and out because she was let go by her agent. So basically, that's what it's about. And so I'm so involved with the voice and love singing. I wanted this person to be able to sing and to sing some beautiful song. Simone is a young black woman who wants to be of service in the world. And she wants it so bad, but when she was rejected, it just took her down and made her go into a spell of depression. And it's alluded to the fact that she has a history of depression, and this was a setback, a relapse. And so the show moves forward with the support system being very strong and pushy at times. And also there's layers of gender identity, sexual orientation. Also there's another theme of friendship and how important friendship is when you are in a situation. So that's pretty much what the story is about. Mm-hmm. But I can go into different levels and different details as we move forward.
Yeah, so let's talk a little bit about, you mentioned two things that kind of struck me about rejection and depression. Mm-hmm. And you are a therapist. So how do you deal with rejection and depression in the play and not have everybody feeling depressed, your audience feeling depressed at the end? How do you deal with that?
Well, we have comedic relief.
Ah.
Yeah.
Say more about that.
Well, we have a young character, Jeffrey, who is just really hilarious and really funny and at the same time, there's a balance because you have the depressed state, which is normal and necessary, but you do have those friends. We've all had those friends, those moments that of a person who wants to help somebody come out of a depression or a sad state by being funny and comical. And people who are depressed, sometimes they say, as a remedy, won't you go and find some comedy or start laughing or something to get you out of that state. And so Jeffrey plays that role and he plays it well. He is incredible. I mean, the character name is Jeffrey, but Chris, who we have, oh my gosh, I cast him perfectly for this role, and I'm excited.
So you talk about laughter as being, like they say, the best medicine, and that's pretty much maybe one of the messages.
Well, that's one of the messages, but depression, there's all different levels of depression. There's a chemical imbalance. There's depression from trauma. And it depends on the individual and the temperament of the individual as well, because one person can be depressed from a rejection. You hear it all the time. Somebody might get divorced and they want to kill themselves or kill somebody else, you know?
Yeah.
And you hear all these different stories, and you know some of the famous people like Robin Williams and Kate Spade and Anthony Bourdain. Everybody have different reasons, different levels of depression. So I think most people have gone to a depressed state at some point in their lives, you know? I mean, I think I was in a depressed state at some point, but it didn't go to the point of I wanted to hurt myself or cause harm to myself. So that's extreme level on that side. But then there's other areas of depression, like Simone. Her friends thought she might hurt herself because they didn't know the extent of it. And so she was saying, what do you guys think? I'm going to kill myself or what? It's like, I'm just down, okay? I'm pulling myself up. So people are really afraid because we don't know anymore. So my work in this play is to talk about it, to ask, to find out. Don't just ignore it. So as I said, there's different levels of depression. So I'm really excited about just showing it and bringing it to the forefront. And that's what I really wanted to do, to have people just think about it.
You also mentioned something about songs.
Yeah. I wrote songs and had a woman, Deborah Ashe, help arrange. And you also put your imprint on it. And Melissa, who's playing Simone, also put her imprint on the songs. So yeah, I just love voice and I love singing. And I love the way Tyler Perry does his plays, you know, he does his acting and then there's song, beautiful songs and beautiful singing. And I just love the voice. And so I wanted to add that more to this play versus the first play, Private Lives, Private Lies. We only had the one song at the finale song, which was a powerful song at the end. But this play has like 12 songs, and some of them are very like short, like 3 sentences to 4 verses. That's how I incorporated song in telling the story of, or feeling the mood, I should say, of Simone and where she's coming from. And also with Malik, who was also part of one of the friends who was very into singing and being a part of fan club of Simone.
Later in the show, the listeners will be able to hear the cast from the cast members. And Malik, who you just mentioned, does sing a little bit.
Oh,
so anyone listening will get a little smattering of his voice and the actual song that he's singing in the show. So tell us, Diana, how did you come to write When the Bud Blooms?
Well, for the last couple of years, I've been working with Private Lives, Private Lies, which was my first play. It's amazing that I am writing plays. And they always say God works, or the creator works in mysterious ways. And it's like something happened. I don't know what caused it to happen, but it's like this was landed in my lap somehow. 10 years ago, 5 years ago, I never thought I would be a playwright. I consider myself a playwright now. So I did Private Lives, Private Lives, and that was based on vignettes. So I challenged myself. I said, Diana, can you write a full-length play? Can you write a story and make it into a play that would be able to, I can stage it, produce it? And so I decided on, like, okay, I want it to be important because everything I touch, I want it to be of value. I want to be teaching. I want to open up the minds and the hearts of people. So I came up with depression because there's so many stories about depression and especially suicide in the LGBTQ community, different stories we hear about bullying, cyberbullying, and next thing you know, people killing themselves because of that.
And even in the business world, with adults.
And adults in the business world. We heard about the nurse I think she was local, Santa Rosa or something. She was being bullied as a nurse, and she kills herself. That touches me deeply, that people would take their lives because of what other people are doing to them. So I wanted to bring up the issue of depression. But also, I want to entertain, so I didn't want to make it too dark. I wanted those questions to be explored and talked about. So the reason why I came up with the play, or created this play, number one, because I wanted to challenge myself to see if I was able to. And then once I got into it, the words, it just started flowing out of me. And I never forget, Cher, when you read it, you say, wonderful. I mean, I don't know what you said. You're always a teacher and you always write something at the bottom. I got to find that copy and remember what you wrote. But you said something really positive. And it was very supportive of what I was doing. Like you were surprised. And I say, yeah, I was agreeing with you. Like I was surprised that this came out of me. It's like, this came out of me. I made those connections. And even when I'm working with my cast members for the last couple months, it was like, wow. And to see the story being told by them, that's amazing to see it and to see them getting it. And it's like, wow. And it's really neat that I'm able to work with them on the script and to let them see how the lines are connected and how the story weaves together the way it's supposed to. I'm impressed by my own work. It's amazing because I didn't know I would be doing this.
What drives you? What do you just wake up one day and say, I think I'm going to write a play?
I get an idea. Like this, it was a challenge, right? When the Bud Blooms was a challenge. Okay, so I did it. Something came to me that made me want to do this new play. So I get stirred, I get inspired somehow, and I get one idea. And once I have that idea, I can go somewhere with it. So this next musical is based on some of my children's books that has been sitting in my computer for several years now. So I'm going to base this new musical on that, and I'm so looking forward to writing it. And I know you told me, Diana, you're gonna take a break, don't start anything else until after we do some things together. So I'm gonna slow down and take a break, but I'm gonna be thinking about writing it, because once I start writing it, one thing I love is once I do it, I'm done with it. You know, it's like it just comes out of me, it's ready to like when the bud blooms, it's like it's ready to bloom, right? It's ready to open up and flood out.
It sounds like you, when you just wake up, you have an idea and you just got to get it out.
Yeah, yeah. It just flows naturally. And once I get started in the story, it just happens. So that's why I'm saying, you know, creator works in mysterious ways. And I've always said, what, for the last 5 years, you know that. I've been doing therapy, working with clients, one to five clients in my office. And I said, Cher, I want to reach more people. So I've been finding these opportunities, like at the Women's March. I spoke at the Women's March. I'm speaking with Sonoma State students, first year students. And that feels good to me. And now I get to have my plays, and my plays have messages. So I'm doing my therapeutic work with a bigger crowd now because they get to hear my words. And I love that. And that feels good to me. Because I feel like what I have to say, I can say it in a way where it's be entertaining, but people can be moved as well. And I like that balance.
And they say about authors that every character that you come up with is a little piece of yourself. Do you feel like your characters are little pieces of you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how so?
I think when the bud blooms, especially, is sort of my story. I love to sing, number one, but the journey of, there's something that Simone says, I have to work, it's not fair. I have to work so hard for what I want. And she wants to do service. She wants to help people. And it feels like that's, I want to help people. I want to be of service. That's it. And she says, that's it. And why is it so hard for me to do that? And so her friends are saying, stay with the program. stay focused, keep moving forward. And so as it relates to Simone and myself, I do that, and I keep telling myself that. Keep moving forward. So I really relate to her struggle and what her desires are and how she wants to be of service.
What about some of the other characters?
Andre is the butch lesbian who's supportive of her, Simone, her partner. And I'm that type. I'm a supportive butch type woman who's have your back, right? I got your back and protective of you at the same time. And Andre is protective. And Jeffrey is comedian. I'm not as flamboyant, but I'm funny. And I love to laugh. I kind of have that thing with Jeffrey. And Malik is that serious guy. And I'm a serious type, too. And Nico is just there to help out and to cheerlead. So I'm kind of a connection with all of it. But the storyline, the baseline of the story is pretty much my story of wanting to be of service and to do good and to help people be inspired. And so Simone's last song in the play is, "Don't ever give up on you." And that's what I'm all about, is inspiring people to live their lives authentically and be real and be true and never give up. And that's what Simone, she learns not to give up. And she says that, "I never give up on me again." And those words and those messages, I want the audience to receive those and let them know that their lives matter, which is really, really important. So, yeah, I feel really good about the actors. And one thing, Cher, that was really amazing when I do my plays and when I cast the cast members, the right person shows up who's supposed to be in these roles. It's amazing. Melissa showed up, and I call her Simone. I can't stop calling her Simone because she feels like that Simone kind of character to me. And then Jeffrey is definitely, Chris is definitely Jeffrey, you know, and Malik is, Isaiah is definitely Malik, you know. And then the mom, Linda, is mom. And she's, right now, she is loving being part of the cast and working with all these younger people.
You know, you're bringing up something very interesting besides all the characters being parts of you. When you're saying that Linda loves being part of the cast, I'm wondering how the cast comes together. How do they form a bond? Or have you seen a progression of bonding over these last 2 months? So how has that process been as far as them bonding with each other, feeling apart, like you say Linda's feeling?
Oh, yeah. And Linda, just to make the connection with Linda and the mom, that's me. I'm a tough mom. I want you to take care of your business and to believe in yourself. And Linda, with the cast, she is, you know, almost twice their age, and she is such motherly with them. She's so cheerleading. She's like, "You can do this. You got this," you know, kind of thing. And they look up to her. They respect her. They appreciate her wisdom and her kindness. They just are connected. And we have this communication app that we use, Slack, and just listening to how they support each other. Maybe one person is down, not feeling confident, or maybe there's a medical emergency in their families. The cast are all coming together. They love one another. It's a beautiful thing. I am so happy with this cast. I am so happy I found Melissa. She is incredible, a beautiful singer. Malik, very beautiful voice. His talking voice is so deep and strong. His presence on stage. And Nico, David, I love you, David. He's been with me for Private Lives and Private Lies for 7 productions. We're going to have our 8th one in July. I'm just really, really happy with him. Andre, I met Andre in the Vagina Monologue recently, and I just wanted her to be a part of my play. She's just a fun woman and incredible actor and just fun, just good people. I found 6 great human beings as well, and they all love each other. So that's it feels really good, Cher. I'm just really blessed that they found this play. And one thing what's important is I was so happy that I found at least 4 African-American actors. We had thought about doing a all-black cast, but we couldn't find the other two. And I'm so happy I got David because he's kind of like the anchor. Because he knows me and he knows the work and he's trust the process. He's seen it. So he was able to help support the actors. And then there was Andre, who I met, and I perfect for the group.
What's Andre's real name?
I'm sorry, I keep saying Andre. I haven't said Jay yet. See? Didn't I see? She reminds me of an Andre. It fits. So yes, you're right. Jaya. So Jaya. Jaya is playing Andre. But other than that, I mean, it's really, really wonderful how they support and love each other. And that's what the 2 months of working together, you have to trust each other to get on stage and know that each other, you know, going to take care of each other on the stage as well. And everybody loves each other, and it's gonna be wonderful.
It sounds amazing, your process and everybody's process. And like I said before, after the break, listeners will be able to hear your cast speaking, and that's gonna be very, very beautiful. What do you want the audience to take away?
As I said earlier, I guess about the depression, knowing the different levels of depression, and knowing that you can come out of depression. Friends got to be able to ask those hard questions and make sure, at least try to make sure, because I know a lot of people don't talk about it because of the shame around depression. And people don't want to step on in somebody else's toes kind of thing. But if you love somebody and care about somebody, you ask them about what's going on. So I want people to kind of feel into depression. What is that different levels? And I want people to see how friends having a support system and how it feels to have somebody be there for you. And so the community is a beautiful thing. And the songs are beautiful. I want them to feel good. And when Simone goes into the audience at the end and say, look at me, look at me. My dreams came true. Your dreams can come true too. Don't lose hope. Keep going. One step at a time. Stay the course, because soon the light will shine through. I believe that so much. To learn more about my upcoming plays and musicals and any other productions that I'm into, will be doing, please go to Facebook, Diana L. Grayer Productions.
Thank you, Diana. We'll be back after the break, and you'll hear the cast from When the Bud Blooms.
Hey, Diana, that sounds like a really amazing play. And you know, as I was sitting here listening to the two of you talk, I was thinking about just how vibrant and visible our local LGBT community really is here in Sonoma County. And this is such a big year, 2019, for so many reasons, not the least of which is the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Riots and the 20th anniversary of Outbeat Radio. That's right. Outbeat's been here for a quarter century, and it was one of the original shows here on Radio 91. I think it's just a really strong demonstration of how this public media station is so committed to supporting the LGBT community right here in the North Bay. Outbeat has aired every week with 4 to 5 different programs each month and a dedicated news segment each week. This is programming exclusive to KRCB that you can't hear on other stations. And you won't ever hear a commercial or have to worry about corporate influence, because this is public radio. But everything has a cost, and that's what this spring's fundraising event is all about. This hour, we have a goal to raise just $200, and it would be great for our local LGBTQ community and ally listeners to step up and support KRCB. We'll accept a donation of any amount, and we have some great thank you gifts for contributions starting at just $40. But this hour, I'm really excited to talk about the special PBS.org passport that'll be yours for a donation of just $5 a month. When you sign up for a monthly contribution, you don't have to worry about your entire donation being made at one time. In fact, you can do it so you hardly notice it at all. Your monthly donation gets made automatically on a credit card you select, and for just $5 a month, you'll get access to the entire PBS.org collection. Now, I can tell you as a teacher, I use PBS content in my classes all the time. But you'll find so much more than documentaries and educational films. There's real quality entertainment, like some of my favorites, The Great British Baking Show, A Chef's Life, and A Few Great Bakeries. That's just to name a couple. Donating to KRCB right now gets you all of this and supports your local radio station and programs like Outbeat Radio. So do me a favor, go to your phone right now and give me a call. I'm sitting here waiting for the phone to ring to take your donation. 707-584-2020. That's 707-584-2020. If you prefer to go online and peruse some of the thank you gifts, you can go to norcalpublicmedia.org. In all cases, thanks for listening. And from all of us here on the Outbeat Radio team, thank you for your support. And now let's get back to Sharon Dye.
If you just joined us, this is Living Proof, and I'm Sheridan interviewing my wife and co-host, Diana Grayer. In the first segment, Diana spoke about writing When the Bud Blooms and her process. And in this next segment, we will be listening to the cast members of When the Bud Blooms. Enjoy.
Hello, my name is Michelle Holland, and I will be playing the piano for this play.
Tell us a little bit about your musical experience.
Well, currently I've been a piano teacher for over 35 years, and I teach singing. I also play the ukulele. I have a small group of ladies that we play together, and so I'm pretty much the director of that. I have a varied experience with my musical background, teaching in schools, teaching privately, working with schools in their music Christmas programs and other types of programs. I often get asked to accompany people or to... This is not the first play that I've played for.
How did Diana get in touch with you? Or how did you get in touch with Diana?
Oh, Diana got in touch with me. She tried to corral me to be in her last play that she was in, and I wiggled out of that. I wasn't ready for that kind of commitment. And then I guess I saw it on Facebook. Yeah, somebody forwarded me her post, and I responded. I said, yeah, I'm ready for this. Go ahead and call me. And she called me right away, and it's been great ever since.
Mm-hmm. So what has it? How does it feel to you to be involved in a group like this?
It's really exciting.
Say more.
How does it feel? Well, I just feel like I'm a support for what's happening, and I'm really happy that I can contribute something that they can't do at the same time while they're acting.
Mm-hmm. Right. So how does the piano support the singers? I mean, what do you mean by that?
Well, it just adds more quality to the whole scenario, and it's a breath for the audience to kind of delve into the music, which, you know, music is a way that we express our feelings. It's a way that we tell stories. And even if there were no words, the music itself is just a lovely place to hang out for a while. Mm-hmm. And these singers are so good. It's really an enjoyment mm-hmm. to support them with their songs.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Michelle.
Oh, thank you.
Hi, my name is Linda Walker. And I play Miss Stevens in When the Bud Blooms.
And Miss Stevens is?
Miss Stevens is Simone's mother.
And tell me a little bit about Simone's mother. What kind of person is she?
Simone's mother, Miss Stevens, is a very accomplished CEO of a company. And she also is a woman who is very, very afraid for her daughter, because her daughter is going through a really bad time. So I guess you could say that Miss Stevens is a mother who cares very deeply about her daughter and wishes her all the success in the world.
So how do you resonate with your character?
Well, I channel Medea, but a gentler Medea, because that's a little bit about who I am. But I'm channeling a very angry, frustrated, or mother who is so afraid something bad's going to happen to her daughter that she's losing her mind over her daughter's just moping around her house and not living. And she knows what a brilliant young woman her daughter is, and she wants her to believe in herself.
Do you feel connected to Mom in your own life?
Yes. Although I'm not a mother, I'm an aunt, I'm a sister, I'm a best friend, and I have mothered a lot of my own family members. And so what resonates for the character that I'm playing is I think that's just a bit of mother in me, and I get an opportunity to display that on stage.
Hello, my name is Isaiah Christian Lee Carter. I go to the Santa Rosa Junior College, and I play the character Malik in the play When the Bud Blooms.
Tell us a little bit about who Malik is.
Malik, he's down to earth. He's very empathetic, and he's very passionate. Like, he cares about his craft, cares about what he puts out there into the world just to make it a better place.
What does he do? What's his craft?
Well, his craft is making music for Simone. And like, you know, he's always in the studio, always writing, just making music just so it can affect someone or just like a group of people in a way.
Does Malik sing in the play?
Oh, yeah.
Can you give us a little sample?
A little sample?
Yeah.
Can you feel it? Hey, can you feel it? Can you feel the love? I can feel it. Ooh, I can feel it. I can feel the love.
Oh, you have a beautiful voice.
Thank you. Well, that was Malik. Isaiah Carter doesn't have a good voice.
Oh, I see. So how are you the same or how are you different from Malik, Isaiah?
Well, empathetic-wise, I feel just like, you know, me and Malik resonate when it comes to that. And we're always there for our friends no matter what. And sometimes, like, you know, we would sacrifice a lot just to make sure they're okay. And, like, you know, he's a hardworking individual. And sometimes he reminds me that, hey, I have to work hard too if I want to make something come, like, you know, into fruition. He's always singing, like myself. No matter what, I love listening to music, even though I don't write music. I mean, I write poems, but that's like a different form of writing, but I don't consider that music. Definitely just like, you know, he's a joy to be around, and he sort of fills up the room, kind of like myself, when I'm present.
Hey, yeah. How did Diana find you?
How did she find me? Well, Diana found me through Melissa. Melissa is playing Simone. Melissa knew that I wasn't doing any shows in the beginning of the year, or I wasn't planning on it. And so Melissa sent my contacts to Diana, and then we set up a date, met at Pete's coffee shop, and had a good old time. And Diana just bluntly said, "You are Malik." And I'm like, "Oh, this is me." And so, yeah, it was a joy meeting with her. And, like, you know, she's broken down to us. I'm here.
Hi, my name is Jaya Templeton. I play the part of Andre. Andre is Simone's lesbian partner. She's very masculine and gets teased by mutual friend Jeffrey a lot about her androgyny. One thing that I absolutely love about the character Andre is how protective and caring and loving she is and supportive with Simone. She clearly loves her so deeply and is so concerned about Simone's well-being, especially since at the start of the show, you learned that Simone has been out of contact with her friends for more than several days, which is a huge red flag. So Andre comes into the scene, you know, understandably worried about Simone and determined to do what she can to change that, to get Simone out of her slump, and specifically to get her focused, to get back on stage, her big passion, because she's a tremendously talented singer-songwriter, and not just that, but one with an intention, and that intention is to positively change the world through the inspiration of her music and talk about issues that really matter. And Andre is, even though she doesn't really show it because she is a tough woman with a big heart, and she's very, very strong. And so even though she doesn't really show fear, I absolutely believe that she's worried and concerned about Simone. Another quality that I really love about Andre is her strength, and specifically, she is so clear-seeing. Like, you cannot, like, hide something from her because she sees things really, really deeply. And she tells you about it. She's a straight shooter, and she has zero tolerance for BS. And she tells you when she sees BS. And the dynamics with the other friends, Malik and Jeffrey, are, as an actress, it's super fun bouncing back with them if each of them are, you know, each of those characters are doing something that it's not necessarily for Simone's well-being. She just, like, calls them on it. And so that's personally really fun to play.
Do you relate to Andre in your personal life at all?
Yes. Andre is tremendously grounded, and grounded, like having that grounded confidence is something that I have personally been working on as a human being, and that's a tremendous a strength to her that I really appreciate, and that's one that I identify with, and it's something that I could go even further with developing. So that's been fun stepping into her, where she's like super, super duper grounded, and she knows exactly what she wants, and she like gets it. Another quality of Andre that I resonate with is balancing that strength and that compassion, where she cares really, really deeply. She has so many emotions. She has so much love. She has such a big heart. And the way that she uses that is not in like a soft-hearted way. She uses her love and her compassion in a very, very, I'm going to take action about this. Like, even her anger, like, she uses her anger in, I don't want to say too much, but in very, very proactive, like, okay, this thing needs to happen, so I'm going to do it sort of a way. I strive to live that balance too. So I'm learning from Andre. She's great.
How did Diana find you?
Diana found me and asked me to play Andre because we were both acting in the Vagina Monologues. We performed two performances together at last Valentine's Day and also at International Women's Day. And my character, or the monologue that I portrayed, was entitled "The Woman Who Loved to Make Vaginas Happy." That was inspired by an Eve Ensler interview with a lesbian dominatrix.
I'm wondering if your character for that production and Andre, I wonder if they're similar.
There are definitely similarities. they are both lesbian. They know exactly what they want. They are fiercely compassionate and compassionately fierce. Mm-hmm. Very confident and very, very caring. And, you know, and again, like that strength, that toughness, that dominance, that compassionate dominance, both of those characters have in common.
Hello, my name is Chris Greenwood, and I am playing Jeffrey in When the Bud Blooms. Jeffrey is a firecracker. He is very outspoken, vibrant, kind of pushy, crazy kind of an individual with a lot of attitude. He's very confident. He knows exactly who he is and what he's about, and nobody can tell him anything differently. Jeffrey's fun, but he can be a handful. I admire his confidence
the level of confidence that he has is off the charts, and you cannot take that away from him, even if you try your hardest. That is very commendable for anybody to portray that kind of confidence. Again, I'm just going to keep saying that word, because it's my favorite part about him, his sass and his confidence. He knows exactly who he is. I sometimes relate to Jeffrey, especially when I'm with my friends. There are opportunities for Jeffrey to sneak out of anybody, I think. Jeffrey is kind of like the center of attention. Even if he doesn't purposely want to be, I think, it is automatically like he's just going to be that person, that beacon of light that kind of shines in any situation. An example of how Jeffrey pretty much portrays himself or comes across. He has this one section where him and one of his friends, Andre, they always go back and forth. And one scene or one line is he kind of really talks about her. And I think it's one of the most rudest things that somebody can say. But he goes, "Maybe you need to look in the mirror and see what a dude looks like." And then he goes, "Oh, I forgot. Y'all don't like to look in the mirror. Oops. I meant, you know, oh my God." Then he tries to correct himself. But it's just like the whole banter. He just speaks and speaks, and he doesn't really, he has like no filter. That's what it is. He doesn't have a filter. He just speaks, and then he's like, oh, my bad.
Hey, how did Diana find you?
Well, Diana was introduced to me from my friends Isaiah and Melissa, who are also part of When the Bud Blooms. We all work together at SRJC, Santa Rosa Junior College, in the musical production In the Heights. So we had each other's contact information. And then Isaiah contacted me and asked if he could give my number to Diana, so we can talk and she can like interview me, so to speak. Yeah, we sat at, you know, the local coffee restaurant and we were just talking, and she was like, "I want to offer you the part." And I was like, "Okay, cool." Because Jeffrey sounded exciting. So I wanted to take on that challenge.
Hi, my name is David Perez and I play Nico in When the Bud Blooms. Diana called upon me to be part of this play for a couple of reasons. First, I've been an actor in a previous production of hers for, I think, almost 2 years now. And when the initial actor for Nico was no longer able to fill the role, she gave me a quick call to see if I could take on the role. So I immediately said yes, because I've already been part of one production and I know how amazing these works are for her. So of course I jumped in, especially with the role of Nico. He plays the talent agent to Simone, and he ended up being a little hasty in making some decisions, which kind of resulted in him contributing to her depression and her downward spiral. And eventually, he comes around and asks for her forgiveness and explains his actions in hopes that he can reconcile their business relationship and continue forward as her agent. I kind of resonate with Nico, first and foremost, because I work for a financial institution, so the professionalism is there. Also, his personality kind of parallels mine. There are times where I'll get a little excited and maybe make what I assume to be the best decision in that moment, without really seeing the bigger picture and seeing how it may impact others. And in this sense, Nico made a decision such as that. He made the decision to walk away from Simone, but had no idea the amount of impact it would have on her and her life. So that's where his role comes in and gives both him and Simone an opportunity to reconcile their differences, offer some forgiveness, and help mend the awkward relationship that, you know, ended so abruptly.
What do you want the audience to walk away with when the production is done?
I want the audience to, but I would love the audience to walk away with a sense of a feeling of unity that
we really are all in this together in terms of mental health issues that affect us all. We are all connected and we all struggle with something. And there is a tendency, whether it's depression or whatnot, to sometimes isolate. Simone definitely tried that. That's how the play starts out. But this is a play about togetherness and how even if we might feel in our own struggles completely overwhelmed, because let's get real, the life in which we live can be super overwhelming. There's all these really astonishing things that go on, and we all have really hard moments in our life. And nonetheless, because of friendships, because of family, because of community, we can get through seemingly overwhelming things. And that's one of the many inspiring messages of this play.
Ultimately, the main message of the play is all about trying to help each other out, be there for one another, I believe. We talk about depression and the outcomes of having that inside of us. Most importantly is to seek help, if it's from your friends or from a professional. It's always good to recognize that if you are having issues with depression, to recognize it and to seek help, to help yourself get out of that funk or just that depressive state. I think that's very important. I think everybody struggles with depression in some levels, even if you're on medication or you're already seeing somebody, or if you just have a bad day, it can lead to having a depressed attitude. And there are ways to not get like that. And I think one way is how When the Bud Blooms demonstrates is being connected with people who have your back no matter what. And that's what I want people to take away from that. Just, we're all stronger together.
That they'll see a little bit of themselves in me and how frustrating it can be to be a single parent, well, just a parent, and that there's hope. And then hopefully that they can take away that they can have good relationships with their children, and that they're able to be direct and honest with them and have conversations around troubling circumstances.
Well, I want the audience to just feel empowered about the central message that like, you know, this play is giving off. And also to just take like, you know, into account that, like, you know, mental illness is a thing. And if your friend is depressed, rather than just, like, you know, turning a blind eye and just patting them on the back saying everything will be all right, actually help them figure out what's the core of that problem. And it's more importantly, I want the audience to, like, you know, learn how to live life to their own drum. Just, like, you know, make their own music. Let their artistic side come out, just with any form. It can be from playing the drums. It can be from playing basketball. It can be from just, like, you know, writing or whatever, just anything. And just, like, you know, make society a better place, not by, like, you know, adding negativity, putting out positive vibes, positive energy into the universe, because law of attraction, what you ask for, you will get back. What you give, you will get back. But I mean, this is a beautiful show, and I just hope everyone just like walks away with something. So being there for people is the best thing. And like, you know, seeing smiles on, like, everybody's face, especially when they're going through a hard time, it makes the process of, like, you know, having a friend even more better.
To me, it just feels like it wants to be a really strong message of activism and peace and community.
The message I want the audience to take away from this play is they matter. People matter. Life throws you some curveballs from time to time, and people get down. It happens. But I understand that some people may experience those down moments a lot harder than others. And it's sometimes really hard to realize that it will get better. There is a rebound. Kind of like for every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. I think when we are in those situations where we're feeling really down and out, we kind of encapsulate ourselves in that darkness, in that cloud. And it's really hard for us to actually focus on that moment that, hey, there's going to be an up moment coming right after this. So, you know, be kind to yourself, love yourself, and just know that it will get better.
I really want to thank you, Diana, for coming on the show tonight and being our guest. That's different.
I know. It's nice. It's just nice being here with you. And yeah, I loved it. I love sharing my process. And
you gave people an insight to a playwright and to Diana L. Greyer. So thank you for that. And remember, everyone, like Diana, you too can be living proof that through sharing your story, your projects, your passion, you can support others in being free and living their lives authentically. It's another way to help the world. This is Sheridan and Diana, and we will be back next month. Until then,
good night.
I step out of the ordinary. I can feel my soul ascending. I'm on my way. Can't stop me now. And you can.
Tune in next Sunday night at 8 p.m. for Outbeat Music. That's only here on Radio 91 KRCB FM. This year, Outbeat Radio is celebrating the 50th anniversary of the Stonewall Riots with a four-part Outbeat Extra series featuring acclaimed author and LGBT historian Eric Marcus. This special features recorded conversations Eric has had over the last 30 years with some of the most amazing LGBT icons, many of whom are from right here in the Bay Area. The first show aired last Sunday night, and you can listen to it on demand anytime at outbeatnews.com. The next show of this series airs on the last Sunday of June, Pride Sunday. Now, this is the kind of exclusive and special programming available to you only here on KRCB Radio. If you didn't have a chance to call tonight with a donation, please go online and make one there. It's easy and fast. Just go to norcalpublicmedia.org. on air, online, and on the go. We are Radio 91, KRCB-FM Windsor, and K215-CQ Santa Rosa. It's 9 p.m. Stay with us. Afropop is next.